Our God, we can gather today in confidence because we know that one thing, that your love never runs out on us. And so encourage us in that. Teach us through your word what you have for us and continually remind us that your love never runs out because Jesus, you died and you rose for us. In his name, amen. So we're going to spend most of our time with that one verse, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Some things are good news or bad news depending on how you hear them, right? Here's a couple examples. What if somebody told you today that you will serve 5 years in prison? Good news, bad news? Largely bad news, but what if you were supposed to serve 15 or 20? Hey, good news. Yeah. Here's another one. It's going to be 50 degrees today. Yeah, that's right. Well, you should first ask, is today January 4th or July 4th? Whether to find out if it's good news or bad news. Here's another one. Your car just broke down. That's usually always bad news, but I did recently talk to somebody who said, I'm waiting for this to die. Please die. Please die. I want a new car. Die, die, die. And this thing won't die. One last one. Good news or bad news? We're having steak for dinner. Except at the vegetarian convention. So some things we can hear differently, right? Good news seems like good news, bad news, or just blah news, depending on how you hear them. And the cross of Jesus is one of those things. That's what this verse says. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hearing that Jesus died for you. You know that different people hear that. Some people hear that and go, wow, it makes my heart sing and makes me free. It's the best news I've ever heard. And other people go, yeah, whatever. And you've lived this, right? You know people that hear of Jesus dying and it's like, ah, no big deal. Who cares? That's dumb. Or I don't believe it. And maybe it's people close to you or acquaintances you've had, friends or family. You know people that react this way. The cross is not neutral. People respond and people react to it. And interestingly to note, the people of Corinth in the first century, they wouldn't even say the word crucifixion. It was one of those things that was so shameful to them that they would use euphemisms, that, you know, use other words to try to allude to it because no Roman citizen was ever crucified. So if you're a Roman citizen, you got some other more humane death. And it was only for basically terrorists that were trying to bring down the regime. So they wouldn't even say the word. And so for Paul to say, we preach, as we'll talk next week, we preach Christ crucified or Jesus Christ died on a cross for you. That was crazy because it was so shameful. And yet here he says, the word of the cross is folly. Now that makes sense a bit to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So to those that you know that don't claim to follow Jesus, God dying can seem a bit pointless. Or to those you know who don't claim to follow Jesus or trust in Jesus, worshiping an executed God died like a criminal on a cross might seem a little ridiculous. But what is your attitude towards people like that? What is your attitude towards people that don't know Jesus? What is your attitude towards people that say, well, I don't have time for that, or, you know, I don't really care. Do you scoff in your heart? I think it's important as to what is our attitude towards people who mock Jesus? What is your attitude towards people who go out of their way to make fun of Christians or make fun of the church? I hope and pray that God makes me and us patient people that want to pray for them and want to love them still in Jesus' name. I hope and pray that whether it's your family reunion, you can be kind and patient to that relative that, you know, wants to poke at you and say your faith is dumb. I hope and pray that I can be patient and loving and enduring just like my Savior is for me. The famous pop singer Madonna, who is, by the way, a Michigan native, born in Bay City where my mom was born, she has never shied away from controversy in her career. And in her world tour 10 years ago, the Confessions Tour, she did something that ended up being quite controversial. As a part of one of the songs in the show, Madonna staged a mock crucifixion in one of her songs, and she wore a crown of thorns and strapped herself to a mirrored cross and wore a slightly more clothes than Jesus wore when he was crucified. Jesus was naked, by the way. Not surprisingly, many religious groups protested the routine and said, this is very offensive. And so then she, at the end of the, after the last show of the tour, answered some of her critics and wrote, which I think is very interesting. She said, there seems to be many misinterpretations about my appearance on the cross, and I want to explain myself. I don't believe this is any different than a person wearing a cross or saying, take up the cross, as the Bible says. My performance is not meant to be anti-Christian or sacrilegious or blasphemous. Rather, it is a plea, my plea to the audience, to encourage humankind to help one another and see the world as a unified whole. And then she finished by saying, I believe in my heart that if Jesus were alive today, he would be doing the same kind of thing. So first of all, What's your first attitude towards people like Madonna? Do you want to scoff at her and get mad and be offended? Now, you're allowed to be comfortable with her, uncomfortable with her portraying herself as Jesus on the cross. That's fine. But, however, even though Madonna never claims to be a Christian, she actually gets very close to something very profound. She gets very close to something very powerful because she understands that the cross of Jesus is meant to affect everyone. Why else would she stage that on her world tour? She gets it that a man who lived 2,000 years ago somehow represents all of humanity, or is supposed to. That's pretty profound. And she also wants people to see the world as this unified whole. So even in something that might offend you at first, scratch beyond a little bit, and Madonna, of all people, gets very, very close to God's truth here. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Here's another example. The author Anne Rice, she is most widely known for the Vampire Chronicles, of which sold over 100 million books, I think. So very, very popular author. And she spent most of her life as a self-described atheist, called herself an atheist, and then in 1996 converted, reconverted back to Christianity, became a Christian. And a number of years after that, she did this thing with Time Magazine where they could ask her any question they wanted and she would answer. And so people were really curious and, hey, what? Because some of her writing shifted, she took on some more, I guess, faith-infused ideas into some of her writing since, and people were curious about it. And Anne Rice got to sum up her journey, and here's what she said. She said, Americans like to believe that we turn to religion in the wake of an accident or a loss of a loved one, but in my case, it was the culmination of searching. I wrestled a lot with theological questions, and then one afternoon I thought, I love you, and I want to come back to you. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I hope you can see from some of these stories that God is quite mysterious, and faith can be quite mysterious. And we can explain some things, but we can't explain it all. And there's a lot we can't. I believe, personally, that the best scientific evidence available says that beyond a shadow of a doubt, Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, and bodily rose from the dead. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives me the joy of knowing that Jesus did that for me. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the faith to hear the cross as good news. And the cross is good news. Because at the cross, all of your sins are forgiven. Every last one of them. All gone. At the cross, God completely identifies with you. That means God completely has felt all of your pain and all of your life. And at the cross, God became a nobody for you so that you would be a somebody, and that somebody is God's beloved child. At the cross, Jesus suffered death in your place so that you would have the hope of resurrection. At the cross, Jesus not only faced your demons, he defeated your demons. At the cross, Jesus saves you and gives your life meaning and hope now. And sometimes you can explain that and sometimes you can't. But we can say this, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.